Okay. All right, we can please stand and face the flag. Hand over heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Maybe a roll call, please.
All right, Director or President Leja?
Here.
Director Skrbellis?
Here.
Director Treba?
Here.
Director Murphy?
Here.
Okay, and Director Altamirano will be running a little late. Item four, public comments. Have we received any requests for public comments? Yeah,
No.
nothing. Okay, moving on to item five. And this is number three of our budget workshop. And we are ready to hear the staff report.
I'll do a brief introduction. So this is Budget Workshop 3. We started this process about a month ago at the board level. Staff have been working on this for a number of different months. So Budget Workshop 1, the focus was the general fund, the fire fund, and the trash fund, solid waste fund. Budget Workshop 2, which is 3 weeks ago now, that was the focus of the water and the sewer fund. So the purpose of tonight's Budget Workshop 3, is to kind of bring everything to that, bring everything together. There's been a few tweaks over the last month as we continuously meet as a staff and refine our budget. So being presented here today is the tentative final budget, and Kirk will kind of walk through his slides with the hopes of agendizing the final budget on May 21st. This timeline is a little bit ahead of schedule than what we've done in the past. Comments from the board in the past is to have enough buffer. So we didn't want to do the budget adoption the last meeting in June. So then that's why we have in the last meeting in May. Should there anything arise that we need to reconsider and come back at a later time. So with that, Kirk.
All righty. So the board packet on here, as you can tell, is a comprehensive budget now. So we've kind of focused and broken these workshops out into smaller sections so we don't have a long meeting or so that we can dive into specific details. So the first workshop, we went over the general fund, the fire fund, and the trash fund. The second one, we went over the bigger funds, which are water and sewer. Right. And now this is more of a comprehensive packet that includes all of them and includes them basically in 99% of their current status. I did find one little typo that I adjusted, and I'll go through it in my slides later. But for the most part, this is where it currently stands. And in the slides today, I'm going to kind of go over what the changes have been since we've done our workshops and do kind of a summary. But the changes per se since our workshops have not been so dramatic. They've been very minor. Kind of the goal today is really just to, I have not received any feedback as far as the budgets go. And so the goal today for me is one, to answer any type of comments or questions or hear any type of concerns that you've had, because we've obviously been working on this for over a month. So I'm hoping no news is good news, but if you do have anything, because my goal is really to do any little minor formatting tweaks or if something per se shows up, but we aren't meeting on weekly basis anymore to go over these and really fine tune it. Like those meetings have ceased to exist unless something dramatic comes up or something important comes up. And if so, then I'll bring that to your attention when we go for adoption, and I'll kind of summarize the changes since this version you've seen, if there are any. But for the most part, this is really what I'm trying to hone in and just make sure it's a really final document. So today, I don't anticipate going over the hour and a half unless there's really long discussions, but I'll kind of get into my slides here. So this is obviously the timeline that Brian kind of just went over. First workshop was April 2nd, second workshop, April 16th. Today is our third and final workshop, May 7th, with the anticipation that after today's workshop that we think we're in a good place, and I kind of go ahead and we go for putting this on the agenda and for adoption on May 21st. So overall of the highlight changes, the year to date, so on these schedules, the far left column is kind of what we have in the general ledger as of a certain point in time. And so in the initial drafts, most of these drafts were as of February 2026, and I've taken everything to March so I can have as much accurate information in here as I can at a certain point. Obviously, these are kind of cash basis numbers because there are accruals that maybe happen after, and I don't want to be too specific, but I don't go into those complexities because I want to have the time to actually look at the estimates and for budgets. So they're not like, I don't spend 300 hours doing estimates and fine-tuning and doing accruals for that because then that would be a little more tedious. So we kind of go off of percentage growth and projections for the end of the year. For example, on revenues, I project based on the amount of days that we've had billed at a certain point. So for example, when we do a billing on the 10th of each month, the bills that go out, there's like a 10-day span of those bills, right? They're not all as of, April 5th. Those bills, some of the readings were as of March 31st, all the way through, I think, like a 10-day period, right? So some of them changed. So it's kind of hard to say that if I take the last day of that billing period that I have like an exact number of the revenues, and I could take like a daily, convert those amount of days so far in the year, divide the total revenue and say, hey, this is how much we're taking in per day. So it's, even with that, it's still kind of an estimate. So it can sway. Even for us in revenues of 1% can change, 100,000 or, so there are, give and takes with that. So that's one of the biggest things that worked on the title headings. Now that we're more in a finalized area, I've updated like the numbers and I make sure it formats better. So if you see like a formatting error, let me know and I'll fix it. But this is more of a final draft. Obviously, when we do like the initial workshops, we change a lot of things, so I try not to waste time on formatting as much as possible. I try not to like ignore it completely, but I'll try and fine-tune it. With these now, you'll see like kind of the central service costs that we do, which is basically costs that the general fund kind of pays for, but the water fund and sewer fund and trash fund they benefit from. So these are kind of like shared costs. Now that we've gone through and we've kind of finalized the general fund, those costs are more accurate and they're included. And like the water fund and sewer fund budgets now, and they're included in the general fund budget. It's the same thing for like the amount of property tax we're going to send out from the fire fund. In the first draft, I didn't have those numbers allocated yet. I kind of left a big surplus in the fire fund, and now you'll see that those monies are kind of getting divvied out where we think it's best kind of to allocate those. So those are two of the biggest kind of ones that swing the numbers. And if you have questions on what those are, let me know. But we've kind of gone over those previously. And then I've also made sure that I've updated reserves. I know on some of these, we have reserve amounts on the bottom. Generally, for those funds that have like the capacity fee ones that have direct allocations to those funds, I updated the reserves that are going to be for those based on the last interest amount that we received from late. In the last quarter that we received. So that way those balances are more up to date and can be as current as possible when we go for adoption. And so that's any questions on those changes? All right, so then just kind of going into the general fund. This is like a not this is what we call a non-enterprise fund. It's not generated through rates again, right? This one is for it generates revenue through property tax, and then it generates revenue with cash in the bank earning interest. Those are its primary revenue sources. It generates money from streetlight charges, which are when we get upfront costs for streetlight electricity. That's where those revenues would fall into place, and those expenses would fall into place. So with that, this fund, you'll see that the biggest difference on this one is that admin allocation, those update all the time. So those are in the lines 3 through 6 on here. Those are what have changed the most in this fund. And that's the charges that are coming into the general fund from the other funds for their kind of share of the allocated costs, right? In those costs, how we kind of go about those is we kind of have a methodology that we use on how much we think relates to sewer, how much relates to water, how much relates to trash. And then if we kind of want to give those funds a break, then maybe we allocate a little less, depending on the need of those funds. So then whenever I change, for example, operating expense in this fund, those allocations will change because they're a direct correlation based on operating expense in this fund. So every time you change that, that's why I try and say, hey, they're really a working draft, because every time I would change this page, it changes numbers on every other fund, you know, slightly for the most part, but it does have a driving factor there. So then the other change from here is operating expenses on the general fund have moved from the previous version from 683,000 to 711,000. And that's just based on, for the most part, just current projections when I update for February to March. So that's what I'm expecting for the operating expense in the general fund. And so so a slight little change there, but that's the main driving factor for that. One other thing that I've talked about previously that was in previous budgets is we've kind of included a little bit of consulting fee for financial services. And that's to kind of help us with the 5-year capital strategic plan and identify what projects we see in the future in the next 5 years, but then also try and evaluate at what point in time if we're going to need to propose debt service or obtaining outside funds to fund those projects. So that's going to help us with kind of an analogy of saying, hey, what do we have going on now? At what point, and what do we need to do? Like, what are our high priority projects? And are we going to be able to afford them on our own? Or is it more cost benefit for us to maybe do a debt service, even if we do have the funds? Or, oh, hey, yeah, we're definitely going to need the funds to do that because we're going to not be having sufficient funds to do, you know, the large projects. So that's to kind of help us use outside sources to try and plan for those things and do that kind of preparedness, so that way we're aware and we can be more proactive with the success of those and where we're going to be, so that way we can get ahead of the game on those. So that's one of the bigger factors for that. And we've kind of done just additional other things like breaking out community outreach costs, because generally before we haven't really had those broken out, and they've kind of just been put in other pools like of general costs, and we want to kind of identify what we're going to spend on those and track those over the course of time. You know, costs for supplies for giving out hard hats, going to events, maybe it's the easy ups that we buy, or if we're buying tables, we kind of want to make sure that we can have those details and see where we're kind of allocating money. So those are one other things that we've done on here too, is one of the other changes. So
I got a question.
yes.
Please. Where does the money come from for the consulting fee?
That would be from property tax.
We're thinking out ourselves.
With that, no, just from property tax revenues. Were you saying the financial consultant? Yeah, it would just be from property tax revenues, because that's an unrestricted source for the general fund. But that cost then, like, it's not just for the general fund, right? It's for, you know, waterfront projects. It's for sewer projects, and they're benefiting from that cost as well. So then those funds actually get an allocated, like, this isn't a part of this budget where those funds are kind of allocated those costs. All right. So it's spent in the general fund, but it's reimbursed by other funds for a portion of it. The other two big things in here are, as far as capital projects go, is we've updated items in here for lines 52 and 54. These are probably the biggest changes for this fund, which is updating costs in there for an ERP program and implementation. And what, if you're not familiar with that, but that's basically updating our accounting software and going with something a little bit more modern and more useful for us. So that's a cost right there. I am working on getting estimates and trying to identify what certain programs that are of use to us and what they're going to cost. So I can picture probably bringing that to the board when we get to that point for an actual approval, because it will be a pretty expensive project. But that's one thing that's been added on here that we've been talking about for at least the last year and a half to try and get us into a better spot. And that would basically bring us into having no longer having like paper time cards. It would be, you know, like right now, a lot of our, like all of our AP is all printed and it's put into filing cabinets. So if you want to look up an invoice, like in the general ledger, if you go, hey, look at all my costs, you'd have to go look at the ledger, go find that vendor, see when the check was cut, and then you'd have to go to a folder in the vault in there and then go find it, right? So this would then, bring us the ability to usually scan those things in, no longer have paper copies, and you'd be able to drill down on that stuff quickly, and everybody would be able to have access to that information in a more timely manner, useful manner. So that's one big project. And then for line 54, that's an admin building project. This is something that we were discussing in previous internal meetings. And so I believe the mindset of this is to kind of start preliminary perimeter fencing around this location. So we've kind of anticipated a little bit of a budget there. But that's just to kind of get us started on things like that. So I believe that was the mindset for that line item, is to help be proactive in certain aspects of that we know we're going to need. And just wanted to point those out to you, because those are the two biggest things that we've changed since the first budget workshop where we went over this. Any questions on the general fund? Next would be the fire, weed, and abatement fund. So this is not an enterprise fund also, right? So this fund is considered part of the general fund, but we break it out. So this is funded by property taxes. This is where our CAL FIRE contract expense comes from, right? So in the fire fund, it does generate EDU capacity fees at $815 for a single family residence, or 41 cents per square foot for a commercial, industrial, or institutional location. As far as changing of this goes, would be lines like 24 and 25, where we're saying, hey, we got a bunch of excess revenue in this fund. What do we want to do with it? Do we want to put it in the bank? Is it useful somewhere else? So we've allocated $2 million to water and $500,000 to sewer to help fund those CIP projects. So that's the biggest change on here, is the inclusion of that. So I've kind of taken, once I go through the water and sewer budget and we see where we're at, then I kind of say, all right, what's really necessary? Can we trim this down? Or where we really need to go? And then how do I divvy out of the resources if I can't, right? How can I help them out? And that's when we kind of go over that and see what's best for those funds. So that's what we've kind of decided on this. And that still leaves a surplus in this fund. I generally, and I go along with Brian on this, I really try to be conservative on these budgets. So even though this fund plans almost like a $200,000 surplus, I really hope it would be almost double that if that's the case, because I don't want to over anticipate revenues on any of these things. I'd love to overestimate expenses and come in on the low end, but I really don't like underestimating, even the interest stuff. I've gone conservative on the interest. I've gone about 90% of what we earned, what I expect to earn this year. And so I'm really just trying not to short ourselves on that. A small adjustment was on the CAL FIRE contract. We just increased it slightly, just based on additional information that we got from CAL FIRE, for a more accurate number. We've included $50,000 on line 21 for a heli hydrant contribution. So that's a new line item that's on here. And other than that, it's just been minor operating expenses that have changed, just based on me updating actual year to dates from February to March. But those are very, very, very minor. And that pretty much sums up
I've been wondering this question. I wanted to ask you. When they come into weed abatement, they get charged. The customer does that. It gets charged. Where does that money go?
We have not had a weed abatement, to my knowledge, that's actually gotten to that point, right? Because what happens then is,
I mean, I can
oh.
talk finish. So yeah, there is a program. So what normally happens is, and this is something I'm working with CAL FIRE. I know Director Murphy had questions about this, and we'll have kind of a more robust report out on the weed abatement in the 21st meeting. But normally what happens is, weed abatement is not a revenue generating thing for us, right? So what we do is, we have a fire or person that works for the office of the fire marshal. They're supposed to go out, they're supposed to assess the parcels, whether they're vacant or structured occupied parcels. And if they don't fit the fire code for weed abatement, then they get sent a letter saying that they must abate their weeds. If they do not do that, then what happens is the district has traditionally hired a contractor to abate the weeds. And then what we do is we take the cost from that contractor, assign it to the various parcels, and then lien those parcels through the County of Riverside. So eventually, when they pay their property tax bill some months later, we would generate that revenue back, essentially offsetting those costs. So it's not really, it should be a net neutral reality, but we're talking about kind of multiple fiscal years. Generally speaking, over the years, and I've done a deep dive on this the last couple of weeks, at most it's probably like $5,000 to $10,000 in which we've kind of fronted the money to the contractor to abate the weeds that we collect on the back end. It's not really a significant endeavor for this district historically.
Got it. Any other questions on fire fund?
Often that weed abatement contractor in the past has abated weeds on property that we own.
Yes.
Correct.
So I think we send a bill before we assess the property or lien the property.
Yeah, we give them multiple opportunities to bait the weeds on their own, and if they don't, they're informed that we will do it, and then that they will get
Pay
leaned.
the cost associated with that physical labor.
And the liening process is a public hearing, and we have to adopt a resolution. We haven't done it the last couple of years, but you have all, well, the people on the left side of the dais have been on the board long enough to probably be familiar with that. Usually happens in the summertime. But it's a resolution, has all the parcels listed, the amount that they're being liened. The board has to adopt the resolution, and then we usually send off the paperwork to the County of Riverside historically.
Because from what I've seen, the cost that that contractor charges to abate weeds is relatively small,
Correct.
on the order of, a few $100 per acre, because he's got whatever kind of mechanical equipment.
It just depends on the size of the parcel and how much work entailed.
All right. Next would be the trash fund. So as far as changes here, again, just updating to the allocations. On line four, that's our bad debt expense. I've just kind of lowered the estimate on the bad debt expense for that fund by a couple thousand. So I've anticipated having less of that, which if you don't know what bad debt expense is, it's when people aren't paying their bill for trash. And so then therefore we write it off, right? At that point, it would be an expense. And then if we ever do collect anything, then we would show that as a revenue. We kind of have is it, our vendor's Tech Collect, I believe. So then we send it off to collections. Tech Collect will then say, here's like your share in here, and we're taking it up because we got them to actually pay on that, right? So that's kind of how those go. Luckily, just as a general concept, our bad debt expense for this district is very, very low. So we are very lucky to have that. We do have an awesome customer service team up front who does help and work with people, obviously. And so, but we really do have good numbers there. Bless you. So other than that, I've also updated the roll-off revenue. I've increased it. I think it was, I increased it $15,000 just based on current year activity. If you're not sure what roll-off revenue it is, it's usually those extra bins when someone's doing construction on their house, or you get one of them put out on the front curb of your place, so that way you can toss all the big construction debris and certain things like that. I still go conservative on that one. Like for example, this year I hope we hit $200,000, but I'm only budgeting for 165 just because for the next year, because I know that that's going to sway. Probably with the economy and the market, because if the market's doing good and people are redoing their houses or having new construction, then there's going to be more of those. If people are being more frugal, those are going to go away, right? Because they're going to say, hey, I don't need a new bathroom right now, so let's not do that. So I try not to be too aggressive on that because I don't want to overestimate. And then also, this is just a reminder, this is hopefully the first year that we're going to not have any property tax. Excess property tax go to the trash fund. So we're hoping that it's based on our rate adjustments for the trash fund that we have stabilized that fund so it can be self-sufficient, right? Because we don't really budget for the trash fund to try and have an excess surplus. It doesn't have assets or infrastructure that it's supporting. It's all outsourced to Vertec, right? So we don't have a desire need to build up excess revenues for that fund unless we're trying to do some sort of rate stabilization savings or something like that. But maybe in the future. But for right now, we're hoping that this is the first year that's going to come to fruition where it's going to be at a surplus. But we try and balance it very closely. So.
You made a comment that if we ever do have that debt that goes over to collection agency, what happens if they don't collect?
It still just stays as a loss.
It stays on their
It goes on their
credit
tax.
report.
Yeah.
And when they're trying to purchase something, they usually call us to pay.
From an accounting perspective, once we issue to collections, we record the expense. And like based upon from an accounting perspective, like it's gone. We don't anticipate collecting it. And then if we were to get monies back, then I think we pick it up as
It's revenue.
it's
It's
yeah,
revenue.
it's revenue. We don't offset the expense. No, I know it. We don't have the expense. It's like other revenue,
Yeah.
but it might be years down the road.
For the most part, though, I think everybody gets numbers on that, but we don't send a whole lot off to that. And you'd be able to see exactly what we send off because that's the number, you know. So, for example, through April, we've sent off $10,539 in the trash can. So that's what's gone to tech collect that we've said we're not able to collect at this point in time. I think a lot of times with that, and Martha probably can attest to this, it's just when people are moving out, they just purposely don't pay for their final bills sometimes, or they
Right.
have people that they try and rotate through a house and they just try and rotate the bill to another person, even though they haven't moved. So then we try and prevent that as much as possible. But a lot of times, sometimes that is, Martha is very aware of the tactics that some residents may do. Small percentage, but there are some certain tactics that some people do, or it can't really be just hardship. So, any questions on the trash fund? All right, moving along. So we'll do water and sewer next. So obviously, and this will come up later in the board meeting. Obviously, this budget is derived, and we've gone over this before, is derived on revenues that are with rate increases. Okay, right. So then, as far as our cost of service study and our kind of rate plan goes, this would be the fourth year of our 5-year kind of rate plan. And so these numbers do reflect updated, you know, we have the non-variable rate, which is a charge for like a meter that just stays flat every month, but then you get a variable rate that is for, you know, like your usage, right? So those are included in here. So this is just another reminder of where we're going. So you can kind of see the box on there for the red is where the rates would go. And you can kind of see where they've been for the last, you know, 4 years and then where we'll likely go for the next year. So that's just in here. Again, you've seen this one before. That's just kind of what we've gone through in the budget workshops and in the information for the rate increases as well. This kind of shows where our tiered structure is. And so I know it's on the agenda for later today, but if those are approved, then those would be approved at the next board meeting on the 21st, which would then make them applicable on July 1st is where we put those rates in, and then they'd be impactful for the whole next fiscal year. Here is the sewer fund, just as we were talking about rates. I didn't move this one. This one should go over. I didn't catch that. But so that one should go over to the fiscal year 2027, but you can kind of see where our rates have been. For the water fund, as far as changes go, this one's obviously built entirely on rate revenue from the customers, from our residents. So those revenues do get adjusted based on year-to-date actuals, right? So I've adjusted those a little bit. I've updated the amount of admin allocation again that we're going to charge those funds and give that to the general fund for their share of costs. One of the bigger items that I've added to consulting fees in here was adding costs for master plan updates. So those are updated every 5 years. So during our budget discussions, that topic came up. So I've added additional master plan update costs for that. As far as capital costs go in the water fund. This is one of the ones that kind of swing. So if you look at lines 71, let's say through 79, we've removed some costs that were allocated to fleet replacement, and we've used those and combined some other items into line 75, which is a water vector. So this would be similar equipment to the sewer vector that's out in the parking lot, right, that you're aware of, but this would be more dedicated to water services. I'm sure Brad and Miguel can explain more, but kind of more or less digging with the backhoe and just instead sucking out dirt and debris with a pump rather than digging. From my understanding, it's safer, more efficient, and can be more beneficial for our operators. But that is one of the other items that we've kind of adjusted based on our discussions and our evaluation of the needs of the district. With that, to kind of offset a little bit of a higher price tag water factor, again, we did the removal of fleet replacement, but also the removal of a backhoe trailer on the budget that we had previously. So that was savings there. We on here as well, there's SaaS programs. So I'll go into it in the water and sewer fund, but those are the software as a service programs. And so we've kind of also modified the initial amount that was in the water fund and said, hey, look, yeah, we realize the water fund does use this, but the sewer fund benefits from it as well. So we've kind of split up those costs to help ease money on the water fund. So the water fund's not just eating all that. So that's an adjustment on here. So those programs that are water and sewer related are 50-50 split. There are some programs in the software as a service that are just water only. Those will stay in just water. But the programs that we can see benefiting both those funds are getting kind of but hopefully an accurate kind of allocation of those expenses. Let's see. I think that's it for the water fund. So the water fund is really hasn't changed much besides those factors and just updating from year-to-date actuals moving from February to March. Next, we'll go over the water CIP master plan budget. So this one is obviously driven off of EDU fees. So a couple of years ago, I broke out kind of CIP projects based on their funding source. So when we have projects that are funded by capacity fees, I wanted to break those out so that way we can show those separately. And that's why we kind of show the reserves that we have from capacity fees at the bottom of this. So we can say, hey, look, how much revenue are we going to get? Where are these projects going to take us? How much do we have restricted for these sources? And then how much are we going to have left, or are we going to be short on capacity fee funded projects? The biggest changes on this budget have been we've included the West Valley Intertie project on this. We've also been approved for a grant with this project for $500,000. So we have added costs for this project of what we think will incur for the next year and the revenue that comes with it, right? Because on a grant, you usually have to spend it before you're reimbursed, right? So then that one is a 50% reimbursement rate. So if we spend $650,000, we can request reimbursement for 50% of that, which would be the 325, right? So I've added the project cost, but then also the offsetting revenue that you would see from that project. So that one was added. We removed $200,000 for the Hunter Tank site preliminary design. We've also updated our EDU revenue estimate. So I worked with Jacqueline on that one to try and identify what development projects are going to have capacity fees paid in the next year. Obviously, this is based on development and it's really kind of difficult to predict, but we kind of do a best guess on when we think we're going to actually have meters in the ground and therefore collect revenues for those meters. Total project expenses adjusted from $6,422,000 to $6,652,000. So just slight little tweaks, still in the same ballpark, but just little fine-tuning things of what we've adjusted. And again, on these master plan ones, I try and identify, sometimes we have like EDU swap projects where we say, hey, developer, it's better for us if you build this, not us. So if you can, we'll we'll give you EDU credits. Like, don't pay us the EDUs. We'll kind of say wash those out. So it's, hey, don't pay us this up to a certain point, and then you build this for us, but it becomes our asset later on. So I've kind of tried to establish where those revenues and project costs will kind of offset. And then I try not to include those in the EDU estimates that we're going to get outside of that, if that makes sense. So that way we can kind of clearly identify where those revenues are going to are going. Because I don't want them to get kind of lost in the developer EDU income, where we think maybe we're having more income than we are. Moving on would just be water CIP, and this would be the last one for the water fund. We used to have some grant, or not grant, we used to have rate revenue income for this, but we changed our structure with this new cost of service study, right? So everything comes in, it comes in an unrestricted category, so that way we have more flexibility with it. The income I do have in here is for the USPR grant that we have for our AMI project, right? So this budget anticipates AMI being 100% done in the next fiscal year. With that, we would have 50% reimbursement on that grant. So we would spend $3 million, but of that $3 million, we're going to get 50% back, which would be $1.5 million for the revenue on that one. We've adjusted on here, we've adjusted well rehabs from $500,000 to $300,000. Since the last budget also, I've included kind of rollover budgets. So in while we were preparing these budgets, you guys approved a DM from Jacqueline for a geotechnical report. So I included that in here, and then I'm including kind of what's going to get rolled over into the next year, right? So you've kind of already approved that with a vote. And so I don't want that to not get on the next budget, right? So I want to make sure that that's included. So that's in there. And we've also included a new line item for the JCSD line separation for $115,000. In total, project expenses adjusted from $4,330,000 to $4,445,000. So I do work with, you know, Brandon, Jacqueline, Miguel, and we try and do our best guesses, and we try and put estimated quotes if we have them from, you know, outside sources, outside vendors on what we think they're going to cost. But obviously, sometimes our estimates can be high, they can be low. So we just kind of ballpark it based on what we think is a reasonable cost. Any questions on the water funds? Home with the sewer fund. Or actually field and admin, right? So we'll do that one real quick. So field and admin, this was a fund that we have where in our rate structure we restricted monies for field and admin project, right? So that money is generated for a specific purpose. So it is restricted for that purpose, and we keep track of it. It no longer obtains additional revenues. The revenues that it gains are just from those monies gaining interest. So I update that budget with the updated amounts of interest I think that reserve will then have at the end of the fiscal year. And as far as there really haven't been any other changes to that except just allocating the whole reserve to that budget. Sewer fund again is rate driven from our customers. We adjust it for inflation costs. We adjust it based on where we think we're going to be for the rate study. It continues to have some litigation expenses in there. As far as operating expenses go, it was adjusted from $3,522,000 to $3,644,000. And again, most of that is just from updated expenses and projected estimates for the end of this year and kind of where we think we're going to go. So those aren't, as far as looking at this one, there aren't big identifying factors from the previous one. We do our best to try and categorize expenses really well as much as we can, because there's a lot. We want to make sure that if it's water related, it gets charged to the water fund, sewer fund. It becomes kind of challenging when it's like materials. If it's a pipe, was this pipe used for water or was this pipe used for sewer? What are these tools used for? So we do our best, but this year we identified a couple ones where we had some electricity that was going from that was actually getting charged to the water fund, but should have been charged to the sewer fund. So we're getting more accurate on certain costs. So you will see that the sewer fund on this one has a little bit of an increase in electricity costs, and that's because we identified one location that was getting misclassified. It also I go look at Edison and I try and identify what the revenue or what the charges are going to be from Edison for the next year. And I believe Edison is projecting about a 12% increase from last year for electric costs. As far as project costs go or asset costs in this one, it again, like we kind of talked about earlier, the software as a service. This fund got charged a new line item for software as a service. That's line item 49. So that's kind of where we had some costs in the water fund that I moved to the sewer fund to actually reflect that. And then we've kind of categorized some other equipment costs and we pulled those into line 48 as well. That's it for the sewer fund. As far as sewer fund master plan projects, those have not changed. Other than, so this is page 12 of your packet. That has not changed besides just the EDU estimates and the reserve at the bottom. So the projects, the expenses in lines 3, 4, and 5, we haven't adjusted those. Those have stayed static. So those are the two line items. This one, it has a lot less activity, so this one had the least amount of change out of all the fund projects that we have right now. A CIP for the sewer, again, sewer is a little simpler than water. It has a little less activity. We did go from total project expenses of 1,325,000 to 1,100,000. And I believe this was an update on line 5 for the VFD motors. We had it previously higher, and we've reduced it by, I believe, $200,000 and just kind of fine-tuning the other ones. And again, the capital reserve is updated on this one as well for that as well to kind of see what that fund still has as far as restricted. That pretty much the other item too is then in this board packet. What is new entirely from the previous workshops is, and we've always introduced this one in workshop number 3, is the salary schedule. That is included. It's the last in the actual board packet. It's the last attachment. It's the last 2 pages. So you've seen the salary schedule before. This one is updated based on the COLA adjustment that's identified in the union MOU and based on district historical practice. That MOU that was done, I believe, 2 years ago clearly identified the methodology and made it clearer on how we're going to do COLAs. And so then there's a 3.28 COLA adjustment, and that becomes effective on 6/22. So this updates the previous schedule to include the new COLA that then takes effect. So this is the first time it's been kind of updated and presented to you. So I just want to make sure I draw that to your attention that this one is updated and was not previously in the workshops or in the board packets. Just to kind of finalize and sum up, I just want to make sure that this is an acceptable format. And if you have any questions or concerns, obviously I would like to go for adoption and have success on the 21st. So I just want to make sure that if you have any questions or concerns that I can answer those, or I can research anything that you'd like me to research. But as far as this workshop goes, I think I've covered a majority of the changes, which haven't been too significant. So I'm really open for any. That's all I have for you today. So questions, comments, concerns.
The Gila hydrant that we're paying into, is that, do we have anything that we, is this for us?
That's on next week's board meeting packet.
Okay. I guess I'll anticipation.
Yeah.
Not next week, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Next week.
Right.
I'll be turning it in next week.
Yeah.
Piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
there any other questions or comments?
I have questions. So I'm going to be referring to some specific line items. I'll be identifying the page number and the line item. There's three locations that I identified where we have attorney's fees. That's page one, line item 26 for 30K. Page five, line item 35 for 5K. Page nine, line item 23 for 150K. So that's, there's some other place where we've got attorney's fees, or we just got that three.
Depending on the fund, so the general fund is going to obviously have the attorney's fees for like general counsel and like HR issues. The sewer fund has specific attorney fees for like trial costs.
That's the 150K. That's page nine, line item 23. And then for page five, line item 35, that's attorney's fees for the fee structure issue. We had that thing with the developers who didn't like the fee increase. Is that what that's about?
Say that question again. Which
page? So I'm looking at page five, line item 35.
Yes, that's correct.
I'll read it. Attorney's fees. And then for the total budgeted amount for next year, it's 5K.
Mm-hmm.
The expenditures for projected year end is around 4,500. So far, it's around 3,400. And this is underwater. Mm-hmm. So my understanding of this attorney is that he's working on the fee structure.
Correct.
Why we're charging what we're charging.
Correct.
Okay.
There is, I don't know, what the first question on the general fund, there's two line items that captures attorney fees. Line item 26, and it doesn't say attorney fees, but line item 29, where it says consulting fee labor. That's the labor council that usually helps us with our employee handbook updates and MOU negotiations.
Okay. So that's HR.
Yes, HR.
Okay.
Yes.
And then 26 is general counsel.
That's correct. Oh. And then the sewer one, I think you highlighted, that's a special counsel.
Page nine, line item 2300. All right.
Correct.
Then we've got this RO. So it was on page seven, line item 13. And then that goes to zero. And then it reappears on page 12, line item 5. Same 50,000 as the proposed budget for next year, but the RO feasibility study was under water and now it's under sewer. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then I saw that we had three locations where there was bad debt. Okay. And then I saw that there's this new island for the outreach. That's page one, line item 39. That's 15K. And I saw this admin on page two. That's the 54,000. And that's for work to be done on for this building. And you were saying that was fencing improvements. Am I getting that right?
Say that.
So looking at page two, line item 53.
Yeah, I believe that was for possible perimeter fencing around
at this location.
On page two for the asset, right? On the
page two.
He's looking at admin building project on general fund 54.
Oh, 54. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So my note from when you were going over that, my note here says fencing. That's this location.
Yes.
And the back and the back lot too. Project.
That's building so project. There are a couple of contiguous parcels.
Yes.
One that has this building and the one that's contained within the same perimeter fencing that's behind the state of voters.
Okay.
All right. And then for the AMI, that's on page eight, that's line item 10. We're identifying that as 3.2 million. And that's to install not 6,000 or 7,000 meters, but some number less than that.
Yes.
And there'll be additional expenditures on AMI in future years.
That's the plan, yes.
Okay. And then we got this video for 700,000. We get the, the guy was 11.4 and he checked that one.
Line 18 on page 9.
not the one I wanted to talk about. So there's there's the line item for the 700,000 for the video. Let me get to that one. That's page 9, line item 18. All right, so on this one, we're anticipating that 700,000 is just the money we're going to give a contractor to go out there and physically video the pipes. It's not for additional software or additional hardware that the district may need.
It's for it's for a complete and thorough cleaning of the entire system and videoing of the entire system. And then what they do with those videos is that they assess each video and give us a breakdown of all of the parts of the district that have that need immediate action. And then they will take those and assess them in accordance to how we should take action.
They provide us copies of the video?
Absolutely. And they will be attached to in our GIS, and our GIS files will be updated accordingly with such. Okay.
So not included in this is any kind of physical improvement to our IT infrastructure as a result of the size of those videos?
No.
Okay. Not the IT.
We have IT infrastructure built into the general fund.
Yeah.
That's line 53 on page 2.
That's 175,000.
Yeah, that's to replace servers, everything, because they're outdated.
Okay. And then we also have this software as a service that if what you want to do is view the video, you can do that with a video viewer. If what you want to do is edit the displayed text in that, you have to buy the software. All right. The thing that I'm not seeing in here is so we have 50,000 for a financial consultant, and then we have another 50 grand for the RO consultant. This RO plan is going to need to be physically somewhere. What I'm not seeing in here, money for a real estate appraiser. Anybody thought about, you have a general idea where you're going to put this new facility? There's a number of parcels over there. Commonly what public agencies do is they will appraise nearby property to try and select a property that's a willing seller or somebody that can be negotiated with. But if what you're going to end up doing is condemnation, you need to have their documentation in place. So I'm not seeing anything in here about a real estate appraiser. So it seems like having money for that would be a good idea. I'll get to my last question. It's on information that's new this time around. It's this COLA adjustment. So you gave a description of how this 3.28% was arrived at. Could you give us that description of the method for the term for getting that 3.28%?
It's the year-over-year increase, calendar year-over-year increase for the CPI of the Riverside, Ontario, San Bernardino statistical area, published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
So it's the published number.
The CPI.
We take it from there. Published numbers. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Annual.
Okay, that's it. That's the thing I wanted to.
Yeah, we should probably start doing is putting that snapshot in here.
I have the trail for the support for every year.
So. All right. Okay. That was all the questions I had on the budget. Thank you for adding the page numbers. It was very helpful.
You're welcome.
we have any other questions or comments? Requests? Okay.
I have a request. You have been talking about these documents in the vault and documents in the shed. We have a half hour before the next meeting. I'd like to see inside this shipping container with documents.
Sounds good. I'll show you.
Okay. With that request, are we keeping this meeting open or are we?
No, I was closed.
Okay. I think that the committee needs to make a recommendation. Are we going to have another committee meeting or are we going to recommend it to the board to approve the budget at the next?
I'll move to recommend it to the board.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Or any questions first? Okay, then all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay.
You can adjourn it if you want.
We will adjourn this committee meeting at 3:26 p.m.
Okay. Good job, Turkey.
I have the
You have the keys for out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I know what
it is quite the